All right, welcome back into the fourth hour of the Game Blitz. Big Joe here alongside Junior Riddle, Big Kenny Adams behind the glass, making things happen. We've got a couple of finals games in the fourth quarter. We've got games that are blowouts. We've got games that are really tight that are happening right now. So as we do at the top and the bottom of the hour, we give you a complete scoreboard update. Kenny! Bow, bow. All right, here we go. Scoreboard update for you. The games we have right now. Beach on top of Brentwood 27-6. Blackman on top of Cookeville 47-14. Now, none of these games are final. Laverne on top of Centennial 6-3. Clay County leads York 38-8. Lipscomb Academy just scored. They lead CPA 29-21. That game has 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Davidson Academy just scored again. They lead Stratford. I think it's 46-3. The score is there. That game in the fourth quarter. DCA leads Franklin Grace 35-7. Riverdale on top of East Nashville 10-6. Fayetteville leads Huntland 32-3. FRA on top of BGA 35-0. Lebanon leads Gallatin 14-3. Good pass up over DeKalb County 24-17. There's a minute to go in the game, and DeKalb County's driving. We'll get you an update as soon as we can. Gordonsville over Red Bowling Springs 42-7. Greenbrier leads Tullahoma 20-3. Mount Juliet over Hillsborough 39-24. Lawrence County 31, Hillwood 14. Clarksville Northwest 13, Kenwood 13. Siegel leads Lincoln County 19-0. Clarksville over Maplewood 14-6. MBA and Baylor tied at 21 in the third. Nashville Christian leads Mount Juliet Christian Academy to 43-13, I think the last score we had. Middle Tennessee Christian over Wayne County 24-0. Oakland leads Liberty Creek 69-0, that game in the fourth quarter. Gleason on top of Perry County 8-0. Pope John Paul leads Ravenwood 31-22. Coffee County 21, Rockville 7, Smith County 14, Macon County 13. Springfield over Portland 40-0. Green Hill leads Station Cap 21-14. Stewart's Creek over Wilson Central 56-14. Fairview leads Sycamore 31-3. White County over Hunter's Lane 40-13. And White House leads Westmoreland, that game 16-7. And a final that we came, Stewart's Creek beat Wilson Central, I just said it, 56-14. That, my friends, is a final right there. So there's just a complete scoreboard update, the games that we have going on that's happening right now. And I guess, Junie, as you look at this tonight, Lipscomb Academy, CPA got the opening kickoff for a touchdown. CPA took a little lead there. I think they were up 21-7, and now it looks like Lipscomb's rolled off three touchdowns in control of that game. Surprise or no?
I am definitely surprised. Anytime you bring up Lipscomb Academy and Trent Dilfer and company, I mean, you always expect a big blowout. I mean, it really doesn't matter who they play. I mean, they're getting players from all across the country, almost unfair. So, you know, the fact that CPA carried a lead in that game for such a long time is a shock within itself. I would say another game that's really shocking that is a blowout is the game that we were talking about earlier today, and that's Springfield and Portland.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy Shaquille, I don't know his last name, but he sure enough called in after we talked about that game, and he was like,
mad
listen.
Too.
He was like, listen. He's like, listen here, guys. He was like, I'm a Springfield alum. I played from 2006 to 2009 and blah, blah, blah. They're missing a bunch of guys, and that's the reason they lost to Henry County and blah, blah, like all that stuff. And I guess he was right.
They are
handing it to Portland right now.
They are 40-0, man. So that sets up next week. So Henry County is going to travel to take on Portland next week for the region championships. If Henry County gets that, they win yet again another region championship and move on next week. Henry County played last night, and they beat – thanks for asking. I got it for you real quick here and all my 55 pages of notes. Henry County won last night. I wrote it down who they beat. But they won last night, so they're rolling as well. I got to tell you, you hit it earlier, June. That 5A in our area here, I mean, you got, you know, Henry County, Portland, Springfield, pretty good football teams. Then you go over to Class 5A, Region 6 – Nolensville Page, Franklin County 7-2. They're having a great season so far. And then you go over to Class 5A, Region 5, Mount Juliet, White County, Green Hill. Solid teams that are happening right there. So it's tough. So you made a good call earlier, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, this it just seems like there's one or two teams in every single district that can really, you know, take over this class. I mean, there's just talent all over the place. And I just especially – and maybe I might be biased because I was at essentially the championship game between Nolensville and Page. I mean, those two teams are really, really, really good, especially Nolensville. I feel like a guy that I haven't talked about tonight that really left an impression – on me was their wide receiver Chance Fitzgerald.
He's good.
He is super good. He's got a lot of offers, hasn't made his decision yet, but he was a pivotal part in that game because they got in so many third and long situations on that final drive to tie it, to take it to overtime. And it seemed like any time that Kobe Walton got into some trouble, he would just throw it in between that seam in the cover two that Page was running right in on top of the corner and the flat and the safety that's playing deep on the sideline. He would just throw a 10 to 15 yard out route to him on third down, constantly making contested catches in order to get them in. And I think he ended up scoring the touchdown that tied. Really good talent all over the place in that class. And it's just, it's almost a coin toss or a pick, a draw of the hat to see who's going to be really, the big dog to beat in that class.
Let's go to the phone lines now, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Lance Mackey covering the East Nashville Riverdale game. Lance, what's the latest, pal?
Well, we're here about 9 minutes left in the fourth. There was some unhappy fans in the crowd. They had to stop the game a little bit, so I didn't call right away. But we actually have had two touchdowns back-to-back from Riverdale. They are up on the Eagles 23-6 here almost halfway in the fourth quarter. So it is a stunner here, and you can feel the energy just in this place. And we'll see what they can do here.
All right, so run down again. So who got the ball to start the second half?
So Riverdale got the ball to start the second half, and then.
You can tell us.
Sorry. So we got they had the ball to start the half, got a three and out, and then it's just been no clicking on the East Nashville side. Also, when we were talking about the kicking game for Riverdale, they had a 56-yard punt. After they got the ball to start the half, it was a 56-yard punt, pinned back East Nashville to inside the 5-yard line, and then they had a three and out, and there's been kind of a field position battle here, and it's really paid dividends for the Warriors.
My goodness, you're in for a nice little ending there over there if it holds up what's going on right now, Lance.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to be great, and I do have a note. I mean, Traquan Waters, to Junie's point earlier, Traquan Waters, they've been running the ball, passing the ball for East Nashville. I mean, he's touched the ball, I think, 25 times tonight, has over 100 yards, but it's just none of the big plays that we're used to seeing. So they're about midfield here. East Nashville is going to try to get back on the board. So let's see what happens, and I'll be calling back very soon, hopefully.
Hold on.
Lance, I had a quick question for you. You said they had to stop the game. Can you go into further detail about why they had to stop the game?
One of the parents of East Nashville had a megaphone and was kind of trolling the refs a little bit. There might have been some missed calls, and then all of a sudden they're not kicking off the ball, and everyone, we're all kind of looking at each other in the booth like, what's going on? And one of the coaches runs up and asks the PA guy to tell him that he's kicked out. Once that happens, the crowd boos. They pause the game. You know, they're huddling up with Coach Stewart on the sideline, and it was a whole thing. They had to bring in, security came out and the whole deal. Again, just really passionate, wants to see his son play well, doesn't want to see the team go down, but they stopped the game for it. So not something that I have necessarily seen this year.
How loud was the megaphone?
It was pretty loud. I mean, it was yelling at Mr. White Hat and saying, that you can't move before the snap and all that kind of stuff. And
wow.
I will tell you, I've been here, I think, four home games, and that megaphone has been here every time.
I've seen it too.
but yeah, I mean, there was no cussing or anything like that. I texted my wife when this happened, and I said, he might not have needed to get kicked out at the beginning, but once they told him he was kicked out, then it was like kind of like a baseball manager getting kicked off. He's kicking dirt on the refs and
he took his time
taking the base and metaphorically, of course.
Passionate fans. All right, Lance, give us an update when things happen, brother.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
I mean, I'm not one for trolling the refs, but you do what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's high school football. You really don't want to see any of that. And when I was there, I do remember a fellow with a megaphone, and he was more or less using it to encourage his team rather than to taunt the officials. Officials have a hard job as it is, so you really don't want to do that, and that's not going to give any brownie points to the team you're rooting for.
Right. Plus, you have a I mean, cheerleaders got megaphones. I mean, they're not yelling at the refs, so, right? Trying to do
well,
that.
Well, no. Their megaphones are like the big cones that you yell into.
Oh,
but
man,
this guy has like the full on with the siren.
Oh,
and
the
electric one that really projects out, that the principal would use to yell at the students at the pep rallies. That one.
Oh,
he's got that one.
Goodness. All right, we'll take another break real quick. Another scoreboard update for you. A score update. Pope John Paul leads Ravenwood 32-29. Ravenwood just scored. There's 5 minutes to go in that game. So we'll have all the scores for you coming up in just a little bit. We'll take another break. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in here to the Game Blitz. 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. Got a final for you. Good pasture knocked down DeKalb County, 24-17. How's the Brentwood Beach game going for us?
I think we're still at the same score of 27-6. So Brentwood's going to have to really keep that run game in check and probably score three straight touchdowns in order to tie this one up. But it looks like it's going to be a beach victory, barring some spectacular play by Brentwood.
All right, let me ask you this. So somebody sent me a note, like, right now Oakland's winning over Liberty Creek, 69-0, and said, well, that's absurd. How do you tell – and I have this debate all the time with people. How do you tell the third-team guy – not to give his effort? You know, I mean, it's not Oakland's fault they're winning 69-0. That's Liberty Creek's fault, right?
Yeah, unless you don't pull the starters. And I think
that's what I'm saying. You get your third team in there. How do you tell them not? They work just as hard as the first and second team.
Oh, exactly. And this is their first time trying to go in there and get some playing time. And I mean, I think as long as, you know, you're trying to stay in bounds and trying to do what you can,
right,
you know, still make plays, still get first down, make your catches and stuff like that. But, you know, if you got an open run and you got some field in, you know, you try and stay in bounds, I mean, it's running clock anyway. So, I mean, it ain't like it really matters, but. Yeah, I mean, these kids are trying to come in, and they're trying to show the coach that, you know, hey, I can be a ball player for you next year and such. And, yeah, you can't knock the Oakland players that. It's only when the coach doesn't pull the starters is when it starts to get kind of disrespectful in that sense.
Yeah, I don't – it's like, you know, it's not their fault. I mean, it's just third-team guys getting there and playing. I mean, you're not throwing a bomb down the field, and you have, like, you know, four wide and throwing it 50 yards. If you're just running the ball – you know, up the 2-4 hole or the 1-3 hole. I mean, it's just up the middle football. You can't stop. That's not your fault.
Yeah, and if they're getting, you know, say 10 yards a carry or, you know, 5 yards a carry and they're just slowly making their way downfield, I mean, what do you expect a team like that to do? Again,
right,
like, if your team doesn't have fight to be able to stay in the game, you can't really get mad about it.
No, I totally agree with that. Another final for you right now, Greenbrier is taking down Tullahoma 20-3. Tullahoma – Greenbrier makes the play, according to Blaine Keller. Thank you, Blaine, for the tweet. See, Greenbrier says get to the postseason, and Tullahoma is now 3-6. I don't know if they're going to make it or not, but Tullahoma is the defending state champion in 4A. That's tough. I mean, it's tough to be a repeat champion in high school football. You lose so many players, graduation, everything. So Tullahoma not having the greatest year, but they still won the state championship last year, and so. Congratulations to Greenbrier, though, for getting it done.
Well, and oftentimes, you know, teams like that, I know I kind of mentioned one of my high school teams that, you know, made it to the semifinals in state. We just had the 10-year anniversary of that this season, and it was all because of that senior class. I mean, that senior class was super talented, and they came through, and then they left, and you know, we weren't really the same team after that. And that happens to some of these programs when you have a really good class that comes in and takes over and gets it done. So, you know, it's a new team every year. It doesn't matter which level, whether it's NFL, college, or high school. There's always going to be turnover. There's always going to be new players that come in and have to fill roles. And if they don't do it as well, then, you know, you're able to slip down.
As we heard earlier, Riverdale on top of East Nashville now 30-6. That game, our man Lance Mackey over there, six minutes to go there in the fourth quarter. Are you surprised by that, 30-6 Riverdale?
I'm very surprised about that. I mean, it didn't shock me that Riverdale would win this game. They are a 6A team. They're very experienced. They're very well coached, and they've had a tough year. You know, East Nashville is sitting here at 8-0 currently for now. And then you look at Riverdale; they're sitting at 4-4, and I'm sure they would like to have an above 500 record in going into the playoffs if they're to make it. I'll have to look at the standings to see where they are to see if they're still in contention for that. But at the same time, it's just like they want to get a win. These kids want to get a win, and they're dominating the line of scrimmage. That's the name of the game. If you're getting pressure on Zach Beard in this offense, it doesn't matter how talented your wide receivers are. If you can't get the pass off, you can't get your run game going. You're not going to win the game, and that's flat out what Riverdale has done to East Nashville.
Our man Stan Harrison, Apple Collision Center, his Lincoln County football team lost tonight 26-6 against Siegel. So sorry, Stan, but we love you, and thanks for being the major sponsor for this show. So.
Going back to the Riverdale stuff, I'm looking at the standings right now. They're currently in fifth place in their region. They have the same record as Stewart's Creek, but Stewart's Creek is 2-2 in the region, whereas Riverdale is 1-3. So, you know, they really need a win to kind of stay into it. I know this isn't a district game, and that might not have an impact, but, you know, this is a game that they really wanted as a confidence booster going into their Week 11 matchup.
Looks like we got your game next week, brother. Green Hill has defeated Station Camp 28-14. Caleb Carver led the Hawks with 3 touchdowns, according to the Green Hill High School Twitter account. Hawks are back home next week to take on Mount Juliet Bears for all the you-know-what in that, for winning that region. That's going to be one heck of a game next week. Mount Juliet on top of Hillsborough, 39-24. That game now is into the fourth quarter, so I think you're in for a treat next week, Junie. I'm a little bit jealous.
And where is this game at again? Is it at Mount Juliet?
It's at Green Hill.
So it's okay. So
great facilities. Great. Josh Crouch is the coach at Green Hill. Trey Perry at Mount Juliet. There's a lot of rivalry in that because they're so close. These kids know each other. That's going to be one heck of a game next week.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you look at Green Hill being the home team in this matchup. They're sitting at 5-3. Mount Juliet currently 6-2. Both teams looking to get a win to be 6-3 and 7-2. Mount Juliet's 4-0 in the district, whereas Green Hill is only 3-1. So, like you said, it's going to be a game for all the marbles, all the bragging rights. I'm sure some of these kids live in the same neighborhood, grew up knowing each other. So there's going to be a lot on the line, not just only in the box score for that game.
I'm jealous of you. I mean, I think I want you in studio so I can get out there and cover that game.
You want to? Are we going to trade places for 1 week only?
Well, I'd love to be out there. That's going to be so exciting to do all that. That happens. It's going to go down because, again, we got some huge games for week 11. I'm trying to effort the Centennial Laverne score, and last heard Laverne's up 6-3, and I can't get an update on that. It's driving me crazy because I'm getting updates on everything else that's happening out there because I'm kind of this. Hold on, maybe we got to find it here. This Ravenwood football team all of a sudden is piqued my interest, man.
Did they score again?
I don't
know. Did they get the ball back?
I'm trying to find. I can't find it. So we'll see if we'll pop the Twitter account here. We go with the flow here, people. It's like watching the NFL Red Zone, man. And the football team hasn't tweeted in a few weeks, so thanks for nothing there, guys. So effort that. But I need to get an update on that score just to see what's happening because, again, Laverne was having an awful year. They knock off Overton, and they've won 2 region games and beat McGavin next week. They're in the playoffs.
And a team like that, we've said, listen, they beat a good team in Overton. And with the way that this district is set up and how tight it is, I mean, it's really it really could be anybody next week. And sometimes these teams, as the season carries along, they just find their niche. They sometimes just get it. They put it together. Finally, the coach's message registers with his players, what he's been preaching the whole time. And if they flat out get the win against McGavick next week, it doesn't matter that they're 3-7. They are in.
Crazy.
And when you're in, they have nothing else to lose. And I'm looking up here at the TV right now, and it looks like Beach just got a pick 6. Darius Johnson, he plays both ways. Joe. He plays slot cornerback, and he just got an interception. I don't know if it's slot cornerback or, you know, outside linebacker, kind of a rover there, but he just got an interception for a pick six. I mean, this kid can flat out do it on both sides. He's a monster.
They put the score up, though. Did they bring it back?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know how this local TV stuff is. Sometimes it takes a little while to update.
Man. I get all that. All right, let's take a break. As we do at the top and the bottom, every hour, I give you a complete scoreboard update. Most of the games now have gone final. We've got some exciting ones going down to the finish. We'll get it all to you next right here. Listen to the Game Blitz, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. 9:30, we're here with you till midnight. We'll start getting some of the coaches calling in a little bit as we count our week 10 of high school football. We have next week, the final week, some big games on the schedule. And then in 2 weeks from the night, the playoffs begin. And then so we're going to take you up all the way to the semifinals through high school football, through Thanksgiving. Junie, are you got plans for Thanksgiving?
I actually do. My son is supposed to be born that week, so we have all of our family coming in for Thanksgiving. It's going to be really exciting, and you know, hopefully a couple days after we eat some turkey, I'll have my first newborn.
Do we have a name?
We do not. We do not. We have not decided. It's a new one every week.
Tell you, Joe's a fantastic name.
Joe, well, I have
Joe Namath, Joe Dubin, Joe Rexroad. I mean, what more do you need?
I'll put it this way. If I didn't have a cousin Joe, which they're on Joseph the Third, I would consider it.
Thanks for the lie, though. I appreciate it, though, man. All right, as we do the top and the bottom, they are bringing the scoreboard update. Hit it, Kenny! Bow, bow. We'll let this kind of build. Let it build. Let it get into your blood. Here we go. All right, here's your scoreboard update, my friends. Right now, Beach leads Brentwood 27-6. That's in the fourth quarter. Blackman over Cookeville 47-14. Clay County over York 38-8. Lipscomb has gone on a tear. They lead CPA 43-21. CPA was up 21-6 in that game. Creekwood leads Glencliff 42-0. Davidson Academy over Stratford 46-3. Final DCA over Franklin Grace 38-7. Riverdale leads East Nashville 30-6. Fayetteville on top of Huntland 48-3. FRA leads BGA 35-0. Lebanon over Gallatin 14-9. Final Good Pasture over DeKalb County 24-7. Gordonsville over Red Bowling Springs 42-7. Final Greenbrier 20, Tullahoma 3. Hendersonville leads Rossview 28-14. Mount Julie over Hillsboro 39-24. Late in the fourth. Lawrence County over Hillwood, 31-14. Clarksville Northwest tied with Kenwood at 13. Siegel takes down Lincoln County, 26-6. Clarksville over Maplewood, 14-6. Marshall County leads Montgomery Central, 49-0. MBM Baylor tied at 21. Moore County takes down Cornersville, 53-0. Nashville Christian beats Mount Julia Christian, 43-12. Miltisi Christian beats Wayne County, 24-0. Oakland leads Liberty Creek 69-0. Independence over Page 13-0 with a minute to go in the game. Kind of surprise right there.
That is a huge surprise.
Pope John Paul leads Ravenwood. That's 31-29 in the fourth quarter. Coffee County over Rockville 21-7. Smith County leads Macon County 28-20. Mount Pleasant over Spring Hill 17-0. Springfield leads Portland 40-0. Green Hill beats Station Camp 28-14. Stewart's Creek takes down Wilson Central 56-14. Fairview leads Sycamore 31-3. White County of Hunter's Lane 40-13. Yeah, White House top of West Fulton 16-14. And West Creek over White's Creek 34-0. That's your scoreboard update at the bottom of the hour right there. So games I'm interested in, the Pope John Paul Ravenwood game. And, of course, the Baylor and NBA game that's happening right now. Latest on that was 21-21 there, Junie Riddle.
I like that. I like that that is one of those big-time district games that, you know, basically winner's going to take all between NBA and Baylor there. But, again, the one that I'm really kind of interested in is how is that one going to play? You said it was 31-29, yep. Pope John Paul?
That's right.
So a field goal could win it for Ravenwood.
Yeah, right.
I think the last time we checked There was about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, so that one should be wrapping up here soon. I'm really looking forward to see who got it done in that one. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of really close game in some of these big-time matchups tonight. A big surprise with East Nashville going down the way they did against Riverdale. But other than that, we have not seen as many blowouts as we typically did, which is good. For high school football, especially going down towards the end of the season.
Final, Oakland takes down Liberty Creek 69-0 right there. And Mount Juliet now leads Hillsborough 46-24, 6 minutes to go in that game. And Nolensville beats Franklin 30-20 tonight. Your Nolensville football team getting it done against a team just down the road from them, Gene.
So does that mean they won their district with that win tonight?
No, that's a different Franklin's in 6A and Nolensville's in 5A.
Oh, okay.
That's right, though. That's still a good win for Nolensville, though.
No, absolutely. Nolensville's still undefeated. Are they not 9-0?
I think they're undefeated. I think you are correct. So they got a showdown next week against Franklin County for the region championship. And that game is going to be down, and it looks like it's going to be down in Franklin County, right? Because Nolensville, when you were there, was senior night, correct?
Yes. Yes, it was senior night. It was.
You think? we think so?
Listen, I was so focused in on that game.
Right.
Because of how close it was and how you know, elite level of play. Listen, you don't usually see a lot of clean, sound football
right.
At the high school level. Sometimes it can get a little bit sloppy. And the fact of how well coached both of those two teams were. I mean, I was dialed in, and the fans and how they were reacting was also distracting as well.
That was so they are 9-0. That was senior night. That so against Page. So they're now 9-0. They'll go to Franklin County next week for I guess for the region championship. All this gets confused. Yeah. So Page beat Franklin. All right. So it'll be a 3-way tie if because. Page beat Franklin County, and Franklin County can knock off Nolensville. Nolensville beat Page. Just a big carousel, and it hurts my head thinking about what's going on right there. So Nolensville gets the job done next week. They win the region, and they can host all those home games going forward.
Well, Page is currently – you said they're currently losing 13-0. Is it?
That was the update we got on the old Twitter from an official account. So there's like a minute and a half to go in that game.
Oh, wow. That's going to be – and who are they playing this evening?
Who are we talking about?
Talking about Paige.
They're playing Franklin tonight.
Franklin.
All right, so hold on. We got a final. Pope John Paul beats Ravenwood 38-36. Game just goes final. We got to get the head coach on Brian Steed to find out how that game kind of played out because that's a nice win for Pope Prep tonight.
I mean, especially if Ravenwood went down and scored and took the lead with only a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. If they responded like that, I mean, that's got to be a rallying cry for that team going forward, knowing that they got a huge win against a Ravenwood team with such a talented quarterback at the helm.
We do. Update, Tyler Palmateer from Main Street Preps is tweeting out, now into the fourth quarter, NBA and Baylor still tied at 21. Baylor had a nice little lead in that game, and the NBA's come back to top at 21. That's going to be – we're going to send you out there real quick. Is that okay to go out there? No, you're not leaving the studio. To get that last few minutes of that NBA game.
Just call the Cromwell Chopper and we'll get out there ASAP.
We'll call Chase or come in his Uber to pick you up to take you over there. Cane Ridge wins tonight over Dixon County 41-0. Cane Ridge, hold on, that game was at – I just said that game was at Cane Ridge tonight, so congratulations to Coach Eddie Woods and the boys for that big win right there. Let's go to the phone line brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Our man Nick Keyser is covering the Mount Juliet Christian Academy, Nashville Christian game. Nick, how are you, pal?
I'm great, guys, and I don't want to be too sappy, but I got some great senior conversation going on after that game tonight.
Okay. We'll talk about life skills, and what we got?
Well, not necessarily that, but I ended up having the opportunity to speak to three seniors after the game this evening. Very emotional, but nonetheless, I had the pleasure to talk to these guys, and I feel bad because I don't have their names right in front of me right now, but I will tell you what they told me is, you know, they were very proud to have played for the Saints, and they have one more game, but, you know, they had tears welling up in their eyes, and they were just so, so proud of their team and the way that they played in the second half. They held NCS scoreless and put up 12 points, and they know that next week when they go into their last game, that's what they want to have. They want to dominate the whole game. They want to execute their game plan as best as they can. And I truly believe that these guys are going to give it all that they had next week. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in action probably, and, you know, seeing them go out on a really strong note. And Coach Dan Davis had nothing but high praise for his team tonight. He was really proud of how his seniors showed out in the second half. I know that they lost 43-12, but it was truly a special night for these guys. Dan Davis has really established himself in this community here in Mount Juliet, and he told me tonight he promises that this will be one of the sites to come see here in the next few years, and his goals for 2023 is to be a sought-after place to come watch high school football.
Absolutely, Nick. So, like you called in right before halftime, they were down 43-0. You know, I was pulling up the score from your Twitter, saw that they had scored two touchdowns to open up the second half. What was it? What was the difference? Like, what did they start doing in the second half that kind of started to rally them and to keep the opposing team scoreless in the second half, to whereas they put a couple touchdowns on the board?
I really think it just came down to simplifying the game for themselves. I think just taking a look at Evan Griffith, who plays quarterback for them. He was also on the line again this evening. You know, he had a strip sack this evening and also threw for a touchdown and rushed for one this evening. And on both sides of the ball was great. Then you look at a guy like Micah Smith, who was an absolute baller tonight on offense in the second half. Probably the best player of the entire game, even though the scoreboard, you know, says what it says. But in my opinion, Micah Smith definitely showed out. And I think in the second half, to answer your question, Junie, is they really just simplified the game for themselves. They knew what they had, and they trusted their skills as opposed to thinking too much in their head. And I heard Dan Davis say to them post-game, he's like, I want to see that same energy in the second half. And Andy Griffith echoed that post-game with me, saying that he wants to see the exact same thing that they just left out there on the field in the last quarter. So run clock, but they played phenomenal. And I truly think that these guys rallied around what they really believed in. And I don't think they had necessarily the start of the game that they wanted, obviously. They let up 22 points in the first 3 minutes of that ball game. You don't have that. It's a two-possession ball game, if you ask me. So anything could have happened this evening. And I was truly convinced that they may score another touchdown or two, honestly.
Nick, thanks for the great update on a team that's having a rough year, man. Appreciate your time, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have a great rest of the night.
All right, let's go back to the phone line. The live brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Let's bring in Lance Mackey covering the Riverdale East Nashville game for us. Lance, give us the final. Give us the thoughts. What happened, brother?
Yeah, well, we have a final here of 30-12. Riverdale takes down East Nashville. Right after I got off the phone with you guys last time, there was a bad snap by East Nashville when they were going to punt out of their own end, dropped by the punter, and that's where the next touchdown came for Riverdale. It was actually a tip pass that was almost intercepted. And then on the very next possession, first play, was an 80-yard bomb from Zach Beard to Trey Joyner for a touchdown. So that's how they got the 12 points. Definitely a disappointment on senior night, but still doesn't make it any less special here for these young men on senior night.
Lance, what was the crowd's reaction after the game? Were they shocked? Were a lot of people shocked? Were they upset?
I mean, there's definitely some disappointment. You know, they were doing, they thank their fans. They're still there playing with the band right now, doing their fight song and everything like that. So, I mean, they're still showing a lot of school pride. You know, for Riverdale, this is a big win. You know, going into next week, they got a win and they're into the playoffs. So, I mean, it's definitely a little bit of a letdown for East Nashville, but they know they can get better next week. They play Smith County for all the marbles to win the league. So, still have a lot to play for, and they just got to shake this off and learn from it.
Lance, look at you, man. You've gotten better each week. Appreciate your time, brother, for covering the game tonight.
Yeah, of course, man. Well, you guys have a great night, and we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week, pal. Thank you so much.
Heck yeah.
All right. All right. Okay, thanks, Lance. Lance Mackey, get the job done for us.
He got it done, and kind of a shocker. I mean, I really thought this was going to be a close game. I could have definitely seen where Riverdale's defense could have limited and played a lot better than some of the competition that East Nashville has played. But again, the bottom line is we're talking about a 6A school versus a 3A school. I think a lot of people forget that. And the fact that East Nashville has such a stature to where, you know, they didn't have a football program, they didn't have a stadium, not even right. 5 or 6 years ago. And now you're talking about them being favored going up against a big-time 6A program that has had a really good history. I know Riverdale has struggled a bit this year, but at the same time, hands down to them. So, you know, their defense got it done, really limited, and took away those big plays that East Nashville relies on.
Quick update. Thank you, Lisa, for the update. NBA now leads Baylor 35-21, 5 minutes to go in the game. Marcel Reed has struck again.
Wow. And I mean, can you blame the guy? I mean, this is probably the most talented quarterback. He's got it all. He's got the height. He's got the speed. He's got the athleticism. He's got the arm talent. And he's playing for a program that's known for winning, and he has a lot around him. So, you know, Baylor with, you know, Whit Muschamp and company, you know, they put up a really good fight. And, you know, I'm sure that these two teams might be seeing each other again. I mean, you look at the playoffs for the last 3 years, Baylor has been eliminated by this NBA team since 2019, Woo. Joe. So I know that this might be a rematch coming here in a couple weeks. And I think if you're Baylor, looking at what you did and how you had the lead for majority of this game and kept it tied till the very end, you're going to take that going forward and try to improve on what you're doing in order to make it a little bit of a closer game towards the end if they do see each other again in the playoffs.
I totally agree. All right, let's take another break. We got 2 more hours of high school football. The best high school football coverage for you. You're listening to the Game Blitz right on 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center National Playmakers Academy. We love having them part of this show. They're teammates with us on this, so thank you guys so much for being part of this. The MyTV 30 games are with, and Beach rolls again 27-6. I think that's the final score over Brentwood tonight. Junior, you saw Beach last week, man. I mean, that's the first time you see him, and you walk away just overly impressed the way this football team, I guess the word, they just push you down the field. They're not fancy. They don't throw the ball 40 times a game. They just line up and push you down the field.
It's your classic smash mouth football, yeah. Joe. I mean, they're going to run it down your throat, and they're going to say, you're either going to stop us or you're not. And from the looks of it, not a lot of people have been able to stop it. And it starts with the guy that's on the screen right now, number 26, Darius Johnson. I mean, I can't rave about this kid enough. I mean, last week I saw him make plays on both sides of the ball. He's not just a superstar on offense. He plays both sides. And he did the exact same thing tonight. And I think he's sitting there with the player of the game trophy because, I mean, listen, he flat out balled out. 2 touchdowns tonight. I think he had a pick six as well. And Beach dominated. They rolled Brentwood, and Brentwood is not a slouch team. So they really got it done tonight.
Well done. Hendersonville just wrapped up a win against – they were playing here. Again, all my notes here that's happening too. Hendersonville wins tonight for those Hendersonville Commando graduates around the area. They beat Rossview, that final 35-14. So a nice win for Hendersonville tonight moving forward. So I think, Junie, I think we're sending you – it's a collective. We're all part of the same team here. Green Hill Mountain Jude. The more I look at the schedules and the games that are coming in, that Waverly Fairview game's great, but Waverly, that's a haul. And we love our friends at Waverly, but unless you want to go there, I mean, but Green Hill Mount Juliet's going to be a huge game as well.
I'm kind of looking towards that Green Hill Mountain Juliet because whenever you have two schools that are competing for a district title, it's a winner take all.
It's a MyTV 30 game, too, next week.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
So, listen, me and Max are going to double team it up. I'll probably be given the in-game reports, and he'll, as always, call after his game has wrapped up to give another perspective on it. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a big-time game. And like you said, and this is what really kind of drew me to it when you talked about this, is they're right next to each other.
Yeah.
These kids grew up together.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure they know each other, some of which are probably in the same friends groups and hang out together. I mean, this is bragging rights right here. This is inside the neighborhood, growing up, like, put up or shut up. Who's going to win the district title? Who's going to get, more of a home field advantage when it comes to the playoffs? And flat out, those turn out to be the best games.
I totally agree. NBA, evidently, this is according to somebody on Twitter, they tried to go to prevent defense real quick, and Baylor said, we'll have none of that. They're good on the field in sixth place. Now 35-28 NBA, 5 minutes to play in that game.
Oh, there's still plenty of time there,
right?
That's kind of what Alabama did against Tennessee. I mean, there's 15 seconds left, and they went to a prevent defense and just let them throw it, 20 yards down the middle.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that way too early. Even and only especially in high school football, where anything can go. Any teams can come back very easily if you give them the opportunity. And you're going in a prevent defense, only up two touchdowns midway through the fourth quarter. I mean, that's not gonna seal a win. You got to keep playing the game.
Seems that Caleb Beasley, the DB for Lipscomb, after the game committed to the Vols on the field. So another big pickup. He's only a top five defensive back in the state, committed to Tennessee. So the hype train for Josh Heupel keeps on rolling, man.
Yeah, he's had a spectacular second year. The Vols off to a 6-0 start, number 3 in the nation. And, we're seeing a lot of these big-time talented high school players, wanting to commit and play for the state team. And so, with all the talent here in Nashville, even down there in Knoxville, it really feels like that, Tennessee is going to be in the hunt for getting some of these big-time players and this giant talent pool that is high school football in Tennessee.
I totally agree with you on that. All right, let's take a break. We've got top of the hour, bottom of the hour. We give you the scoreboard update. A lot of games have gone final. Some games are still late fourth, but exciting. So stick right here. We'll give you a complete scoreboard update coming to you in just a few moments. Listen to the Game Blitz right here. 102.5, 106.3, the game brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.